You have to shout his name. He's Prophet Jeremiah. Okay, we'll do like the children do. Okay, I'll say 1, 2, 3. And you shout Prophet Jeremiah. You can do that. Okay, if you can't do that, he can't hear you, you won't come out. Okay, 1, 2, 3. Are you? I can't even hear you. Don't talk about him. Okay, one more time. 1, 2, 3.
Prophet Jeremiah.
Do you have a lunch already? Okay, let's try. 1, 2, 3, louder. Very good. Can you hear us? Okay, he can hear us. Let's put our hands and welcome him.
Thank you, Laya. Hey, hello, ARPC. How are we doing? Silence. This is a family service, so the adults are also encouraged to join in. Yeah, not just the kids. How are we doing? Good? Okay, that's good. Okay, when I got the invite from Lak Yong, I took the first plane that I could and I flew over from Israel to join you here today. And it's really great to be here with you. I hear that you are covering the book of Jeremiah in your pulpit as well as your DG series and also in Children's Church. Am I right? Yes? It's a great book, right? Jeremiah is a great book. And you know why it's a great book? Not because I wrote it, but because God is the one who gave me the words to speak. He is the one that told me what to say. In other words, as much as Jeremiah is a book about the prophet, as much as it is a book about the Israelites and the people of Judah, as much as it is a book about the nations back then, most of all, Jeremiah is a book about Yahweh, our great God. It's a book which shows us how He is like and who He is. Okay? So as we start, I'm going to get us to sing some songs that speak of just how great God is. Okay? And before that, I draw attention to a passage in Jeremiah 23, verse 23. Yep. And can I invite you to read it together with me? Let's read it. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Am I only a God nearby, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Can anyone hide in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord. That's who God is. He's powerful, He is sovereign, and He is above us all. And we're going to sing some songs that speak of that, okay? Now, I had the choice in family service whether to change the songs from the two earlier services, but I decided not to. Okay, so they are more kiddie songs in that sense. Not really kiddie songs, but they are really nice songs that get you to move a little bit. So I'm going to ask that you do the same as what we did with the two previous services. Okay? You think you can do that? And trust me, from what I saw in the two previous services, I think the adults enjoyed it more than the children. Huh? It's a time for them to let out the little child in each and every one of us. Okay? So the first song is Good or Bad. It's by Johnny Burns. Okay? And we know this song, familiar to us. Except that when I get us to sing it, I'm going to get us to do the slide, okay? What is the slide? Okay, everybody up on your feet, I'll show you what the slide is. Don't worry, don't have to feel embarrassed. Everybody's going to do it together, okay? Okay, and when I give you the signal, when I say ready, let's do the slide, let's go, okay? I want you to take 2 steps to your left, okay? To your left. So I'll be moving to my right, but you move to your left, okay? So it goes like this. Step and step, clap. Slide and slide, clap, slide and slide, clap, slide and slide, clap, okay? The most basic is you just got to take 1 step, okay? For those of you that do a bit of dance classes and things, you might want to do the, you know, the I don't know what you do, that the popping or whatever, you can try that, okay? But just don't, make sure you don't hurt yourself, okay? So we'll start by moving to the left first. Okay, let's try it together, okay? Ready? 1, 2, 3, go. Slide and slide, clap. Slide and slide, slide and slide, clap, slide and slide. Very nice, very nice. Okay, I think we're ready. Go to bed. Okay, let's get ready to do the slide to the left first. Sometimes good things happen.
Come around. Very nice. Let's go.
Sometimes good things happen. God is there. Sometimes bad things happen. God is there too. Good or bad. Happy or sad. I know that God is there.
Whoa, he's there.
Whoa, he's there. Whoa, he's there. Good or bad. Happy or sad. I know that God is there.
Okay, last time. Let's go. Around. Thank you. You can be seated. That's just a warm-up. We're going to sing two more songs that proclaim how great God is, and these are Colin Buchanan songs. Any of you are familiar with Colin Buchanan songs? Hands up. Any of you heard it? No? Am I the only one in this room? Colin Buchanan. He's an artist in Australia, and he kind of does what he calls Aussie rock. Okay, it's for kids. Kids praise, but his songs are wonderful as they proclaim how great God is. So I'm going to do two of his songs. The first one is called God is Everywhere, okay? And I'll teach it to you, okay? And you can just repeat after me. I'll teach you the first verse and the chorus, okay? So it goes something like this. If Riley was a spaceman, blasted off to Mars, flew a super spaceship to the faraway stars. Okay, sorry. Supposed to repeat the line, right? Got carried away. Okay, let's try that again. If Riley was a spaceman, blasted off to Mars. Your turn.
Riley was a spaceman, blasted off to Mars.
Flew a super spaceship to the faraway stars.
Flew a super spaceship to the faraway stars.
God will be there.
God will be there.
God will be there.
God is everywhere.
Guitar.
God is everywhere. Guitar.
Okay, when I say the guitar, you're wondering what that means, okay? That's where you're supposed to imagine you have an air guitar and then you're playing it, okay? So this is a chance for you to live out your rock dreams, huh? All of you hidden artists out there, okay? The chorus goes something like that, and the chorus is... Oh, it doesn't fit. Okay. Okay, it goes, God will be there. Ooh, ooh. So you're supposed to raise both your hands like. Okay. So we try that, okay? Ready? 1, 2, 3, go. God will be there. Your turn.
God will be there.
Ooh, ooh.
God will be there.
God will be there.
Ooh, ooh. God will be there. God is everywhere. Guitar.
God is everywhere. Guitar.
Okay, I think we're quite ready. And then the next song after this will be... can you just show that? Yep, it's 10, 9, 8. God is great. So you're supposed to go something like this, okay? You see those little asterisks in the bracket? It's meant to be your clapping. Okay, so you're meant to do it something like this. Try the clapping. Okay, we'll try it together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Okay, I think we're good to go. And the chorus is... you can just flip down next to the chorus. Thank you. Yep, I will say 10, and then you just repeat the numbers after me in the brackets, okay? Don't worry, you'll catch the songs. This is really fun songs, and it's quite easy to catch, okay? So let's go back to the beginning. If God is everywhere. Let's be up on our feet standing as we sing this. Come. Take it away, boys.
If Riley was a spaceman, blasted off to Mars, flew a super spaceship to the faraway star, God will be there.
God will be there.
God is everywhere.
Guitar.
One thing will be true.
can't do that, just let down your hand. Just enjoy yourself, okay? You can do that while praising God. It's okay. You can do that, yeah? Okay, let's take it from the beginning again. Let's just, God is everywhere.
If Riley was a spaceman blasted off to Mars, through a super spaceship through the faraway stars, God will be there. God is everywhere. Get down! You can hang a letter, Jupiter, fly to Saturn too. Right across the galaxy, one thing will be true. God will be there. God is everywhere.
Thank you. Please be seated. Thank you. See, I told you that you would have fun, right, as adults. Unleash the little child inside each and every one of us. But that's how it is like as we praise God. I think he wants to see all of us with our whole being praising him because of who he is. We're going to slow things down a little bit now. We still sing songs that tell us how great God is. And one song we're going to sing is He's the Lord of the Sunshine.
He's the Lord of the sunshine, the Lord of the rain. He's the Lord of the good times, the Lord of the pain. He's the Lord of the mountains, the Lord of the sea.
That indeed God is the Lord of everything. Let's sing this again. He's the Lord of the sunshine.
He's the Lord of the sunshine, the Lord of the rain. He's the Lord of the good times, the Lord of the pain. He's the Lord.
That's what the songs tell us, that God is great, that He's big, and that He's everywhere. But you know what? This big and powerful God who is above us all, this God is not far away. This God is not aloof, but rather this God wants to be in relationship with us. And in the Old Testament, how God shows this is by saving and forming a people for Himself. And I'm sure you know who this people is. It is my people, the people of Israel, the Israelites. God rescued them from slavery in Egypt. He called them to Himself in Mount Sinai. And there and then He says to them, I will be your God, and you will be my people. In other words, God formed a covenant with them. He was in a deep covenantal relationship with them. But you know what? The Israelites, throughout their history, they just kept showing they did not want to be God's people. They didn't want Yahweh as their God. And even in the book of Jeremiah, when God sent me to speak to them as the prophet, this was how it was like. The Israelites had wandered so far away from God. And God was heartbroken. He was sad. But you know what the most terrible thing was? The Israelites thought that they were okay. They thought that they didn't do anything wrong. They thought that as long as they kept on doing their religious things, as long as they kept on going to the temple, offering the sacrifices, doing their prayers, they thought that as long as they kept on doing these things, God will not be angry with them and He will still bless them as usual. And just to show us how bad it gets, I call up a passage from Jeremiah 7. Can we read this responsively? I'll read the first verse, and after that, you join me with the next verse, and we'll read the last verse together. Jeremiah 7, verse 3. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Reform your ways and your actions, and I'll let you live in this place. Your turn.
Do not trust in deceptive words and say, this is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord.
If you really change your ways and your actions and deal with each other justly,
do not oppress the aliens, those of the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, and do not follow other gods.
Then I will let you live in this place, in the land I gave your forefathers forever and ever.
But look, you are trusting in deceptive words and worthless.
Will you steal and murder, commit adultery and perjury, burn incense to Baal and follow other gods you have not known?
And together, has this house which bears my name become a den of robbers to you? But I have been watching, declares the Lord. Indeed, this was the sad state of things among the Israelites. They were going to the temple and appearing to do everything right, when the truth was that nothing was going right in their own hearts. But just in case you and I sit here today and we think that was the Israelites, that's their problem, think again. It might have something to do with us, because we ourselves might not be that far away from the Israelites. Indeed, the sad truth is that very often we could be in the same state as them. As we come to church, could it be possible? Could it be that we are scheming behind our spouse's back? Could it be that we're harboring dishonor towards our parents? Or perhaps we're bearing a grudge against a friend, conspiring to assassinate the character of a person at work or a leader at church, even while we go to church and do ministry? Just in case you're wondering, those are not my words, but those are the words taken off from the blog of your senior pastor, Pastor Chris Chia. He wrote this a couple of weeks back, and I took it off from there. But that's the truth, isn't it? You see, it's so easy for us to fall into this same danger as the Israelites. We could be going to church and appearing to do everything right, when the truth is nothing right is going on in our hearts. So we're going to sing some songs that ask God to help us not to fall into this danger. And as we sing these songs, I will have some people come up and pray on behalf of us for forgiveness, especially for the times when we have done the wrong thing. So we start the first song, A Broken Spirit.
A broken spirit and a contrite heart, you will not despise. You will not despise. You desire truth.
Broken spirit.
A broken spirit and a contrite heart, you will not despise. You will not despise. You desire truth. Stripped away and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's above that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself, it's not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. King of endless world, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself, it's not what you have required. Things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about
the music team carries on playing, I'll now invite the youth to come up and to pray on behalf of the youth.
Judge us, Lord. You judge our sins, Lord. And pray that when we live our lives, Lord, that we will learn to fear you. Lord, I want to pray lastly, Lord, for perseverance, Lord, and accountability partners to help us through the week, Lord. Pray that that the people, Lord, will continue to help us, Lord, to be continue to be faithful to you, Lord. And that they'll help us, Lord, with regular reminders, Lord, and prayers. Just let pray, amen.
You stand upon to see your of love so scorned and life so broken. Have mercy, Lord.
Have mercy, Lord.
Forgive us, Lord.
Forgive us, Lord.
Restore us, Lord. Revive your church again. Let justice flow.
I'll lead the adults to pray. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as adults of this family at ARPC, as fathers, as mothers, as aunties and uncles, we thank you. We thank you for blessing us with a family, for us to love one another. However, we are sorry that at times we will allow our worries, our fears, our desires to choke out your word from our hearts, so that we won't be able to bear fruit for you. We pray, Lord, that when we fail in this area, you forgive us. You know, so help us to be serious that when we fail to live godly lives, we also cause the younger ones to fail. We mislead them in our lives. So help us, Lord, to repent. And may your blood remind us of the great cost that you paid for us at the cross. May your word remind us your teachings, and may your spirit empower us to obey you, so that we will no longer be overwhelmed by our fears, our worries, and our desires, but we'll be able to rise up with your resurrection power to love you and to serve you and to lead the younger ones among us to do the same. We ask all this in Jesus' most mighty name. And the church says,
can we all be upstanding as we sing the last verse of the song? Can I be upstanding, please?
Yes, O Lord, your glorious cross shall tell triumphant in this land. Evil confounding through the fire, your suffering church display the glories of her Christ. Praises resounding. Have mercy.
Thank you. Please be seated. Indeed, that is what the Lord desires, humble hearts, contrite spirits. But despite all my prophecies and despite all my words to the people of Judah, they refused to hear. They stubbornly persisted in going in their own way, the way of idolatry. As a result, judgment from the Lord is certain. There is no escape, no turning back for the Israelites. And God, in being faithful to the holy God He is, and to the terms of the covenant He had with Israel, God had to punish and judge them. And one of the most scary passages that shows the seriousness of God's judgment is found in Jeremiah 15. There it is as if God tells them that he's got a box for them. And in this box is found the future and the destiny of the Israelites. And there it's as if God says, reach out your hand and pick something from the box, and that will be your future and your destiny, O Israel. It's a bit like what you Singaporeans have here, what you call the lucky draw. You put your hand in and you pick something out. It's a bit similar for the Israelites. So God tells them, put your hand in and pick out whatever that you see in there. And the first person picks out a tombstone. A tombstone. Second person reaches out and picks up a sword. The third person reaches and picks up dry, withered corn skin with no corn. And the last person reaches out and pulls out a rope to symbolize handcuffs and judgment. And indeed, this is what the Lord says in Jeremiah 15, verse 1 to 2. And can I have that verse up, please? Then the Lord said to me, even if Moses and Samuel were to stand before me, my heart would not go out to this people. Send them away from my presence. Let them go. And if they ask you, where shall we go? Tell them, this is what the Lord says. Those destined for death, to death. Those for the sword, to the sword. Those for starvation, to starvation. And those for captivity, to captivity. Thank you. So you see, judgment on Israel is final. There is no turning back. God, because of the holy God that he is, he must punish sin and rebellion, especially stubborn sin and rebellion. But at the same time, God is also the God of mercy, the God of covenantal love. And out of that divine love and mercy, God remembers his people and he will bring hope to them. Right now, we're going to sing another song. This song, we sent it a couple of weeks back ago, and it's called Then They Will Know by Michael Card. And that song illustrates and shows us the judgment of God, but yet how he brings them hope and mercy. This will also be the financial offering song. So can I ask upon the psalmist to come and help us with the financial offering? If you are new in this church, please do not feel obligated to put any money into the bags. Just simply allow the bags to pass you by. Okay?
I will speak. Be my people, I walk with the man.
That is what we see in chapter 23 of Jeremiah today, real hope. Can we all please read the passage together as it's fleshed out for us? Jeremiah 23. Thank you. Let's read it together. One, two, three. Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to the shepherds who tend my people. Because you have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not bestowed care on them, I will bestow punishment on you for the evil you have done, declares the Lord. I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and will bring them back to their pasture, where they will be fruitful and increase in number. I will place shepherds over them who will tend them, and they will no longer be afraid or terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. So then the days are coming, declares the Lord, when people will no longer say, as surely as the Lord lives, who brought the Israelites up out of Egypt. But they will say, as surely as the Lord lives, who brought the descendants of Israel up out of the land of the north and out of all the countries where he had banished them, then they will live in their own land. The sermon outline is found within your bulletin, and I do apologize that it is not the full sermon outline. It's only half of it. So there's another portion, which later when you see in the overhead slides, I will need you to copy it down yourselves. But hopefully the sermon outline will help to keep us going and to know where we are heading in this sermon. Yeah? So in Jeremiah 23, God, after all the gloom and after all the judgment that has come up in the book of Jeremiah so far, after God says that he will dish out to Israel irrevocable judgment, after all this in Jeremiah 23, we get the hope of the Lord that he brings out to us. And I think this hope of the Lord is brought out to us in Jeremiah 23 in mainly three ways, okay? So the first way, can I call up the first slide? The first slide for that. Yep, the first way in which this real hope is expressed is in terms of God replacing out the old shepherds and putting in new ones, okay? Down here, the shepherds most likely refer to the leaders of Judah. In particular, it refers to the kings who have been ruling over Judah and the people. And sad to say, unfortunately, the kings had not been doing a good job, okay? Ever since King Solomon, all the way, the kings just went downhill. One or two of them were good kings, but most of them were evil kings, yeah? And they had not been doing their job. And God says here, they have failed as shepherds and he will replace them. You see, I don't know much about shepherding, but this much I know. And that is, why do you think you'll be needed as a shepherd? So can you just imagine along with me? Imagine if now you're given a new job and your new job is to be a shepherd of a flock of sheep. What do you think will be your main job? What will be your main task at hand? If I can guess, our main job would be to keep the sheep together, right? To gather them. Because from what I understand, sheep have a tendency to wander off on their own, right? They have a tendency to go off away from the crowd and wander off on their own and get lost. That's why the main task of the shepherd is always to be the central figure to draw the sheep back to himself, to gather the sheep back to himself. Maybe the best example I can think of in today's kind of modern world, we don't really see much of shepherds, especially in Singapore. But maybe a good example might be preschool teachers. Have you ever seen preschool kindergarten teachers take the children out on excursions? Right? Sometimes I go to the zoo and then I discover half to my horror and half to my delight that, you know, that there's a whole school of preschool children coming. And I noticed that the job of the preschool teacher is always to gather the kids together. Don't run away. Stay together, hold hands now, let's move together. And then that mainly consumes up part of their job as they are out on excursion, right? So I suggest to us that the job of the shepherd will be very similar to that, to gather the sheep together. But here, we are told that the shepherds of Israel had not done that. Instead of being a good example, setting themselves as a good example for the Israelites in following after God and obeying His law, His word, the kings of Israel had led the people astray and they had encouraged the people to chase after other gods instead of Yahweh. That is, instead of leading the people in following Yahweh, these false kings and bad kings had led the people in chasing after idols. That's why God here accuses the shepherds, the kings, of scattering the sheep away from Him. Instead of drawing and gathering the sheep to Himself, to Yahweh, the shepherds and the kings have scattered the sheep away from God rather than gather them to God. So here God says He Himself will take action. He Himself will punish these wicked shepherds. And God Himself will come and He will play the role of the good shepherd. He Himself will come and put on the shepherd's cloak. He Himself will take the shepherd's staff. And He Himself will be the new shepherd who will come and gather back the sheep from wherever they have been scattered to, all the different countries they have been scattered, all the different nations. God will come Himself as the good shepherd and bring them back to their own land, where there they will have peace and security. And God in turn will place good and new shepherds over this flock to watch over them and to tend for them. So that's the first way that this real hope dawns in Jeremiah 23, a new shepherd. The second way this real hope is expressed is in terms of God promising He will raise up a new Messiah. He will raise up a new Savior, a new King. A new king who will not only come from the line of David. A new king who will not only be like King David himself. King David was a very good king in the line of Israel's history. He was mostly a very good king. And God here says that this new king will not only be like David, but more than that, this new king will be raised up just as it was promised to King David. You see, back in King David's time, in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 7, God there made a promise to David. He said to David, after you die, I will raise up one of your sons to be the king, to be the Messiah, who would certainly and finally bring about God's promises once and for all. God's promises that go all the way back to their first forefather, to our first forefather, to Abraham, the promise to bless not just the Israelites, but also you, the whole world as well, through Him. And here in Jeremiah 23, God is saying He remembers that promise that He made to David. And He says that promise will become hope for the rebellious Israelites here. And the way God will go about bringing this new king and this Messiah in Jeremiah 23, in verse 5, is described as God raising a righteous branch. Okay? It's a very interesting phrase, raising a righteous branch. And I think the best way... Sorry, can you just hold that back for a little while? Yep. And the best way to help us to see that is allow me to ask, have you all seen chopped trees before? Any of you seen chopped trees before? Yeah? In the short time that I've been here in Singapore, I've traveled along the roads, and I noticed that you have a government body. I think it's called the NParks. Am I right? Right? And sometimes they have their contractors who will be climbing up the trees on the ladders, and they'll be chopping down those branches along the highway. Yes? Yeah?
And they have to do that because sometimes they have to cut away the branches of trees which are decayed and diseased, right? And the tree, sometimes having all the bad branches cut off, sometimes what is left behind is just the tree trunk itself, correct? The tree is bota in your language. It's called bota, right? It's a bota tree. Now, God is saying that the current kingship during my time in the book of Jeremiah, it had become like a bota tree. There were no more branches left because all the rotten branches, all the evil kings, God had cut away and punished. But here is where God says, out of this bota tree, He will now raise a new branch. You can show the slide now. Thank you. He will raise this righteous branch. And this righteous branch will not be like any of the kings Israel had before. This branch will be greater than King David himself. In fact, this branch will surprisingly be called and identified as God Himself. Have a look at verse 6. This branch is called the Lord, our righteousness, meaning the Lord Himself will identify Himself with this Messiah and with this King that He is raising up. Okay? So that's the second way in which hope dawns. And the third way in which this real hope is expressed is in terms of a new exodus, a new rescue. You see, the exodus is a milestone event in the life of the Israelites. You talk to any of the fellow Israelites living in my time, okay? You catch hold of them and you ask them, tell me, what is the defining moment for you as a nation? And all of us will tell you it was the Exodus event. It's a bit like if I catch any one of you Singaporeans, let's say if I pull Lak Yong and I ask him, tell me, as a Singaporean, tell me, what is the defining moment for you as a country, as a nation? What do you think the answer will be? No, that's the wrong answer. That's too egocentric. Sorry, I'm talking about a nation here. What do you think the answer will be if we ask? If I can guess correctly, from the little that I've studied of your history books, it'll probably be the moment of 1965, correct? Yeah, I see some nodding. Yeah? Yeah, there'll be that moment where Singapore broke away from your neighbor up north, Malaysia, and when you were established as an independent state, right? Remember that tearful moment? I see some pictures of it. That was a very tearful moment. Yeah. I think for most Singaporeans, we would say that that was the defining moment for you, right? When you became a nation. Now, you talk to the Israelites. You talk to the Israelites in my time and you ask them, what is the defining moment for you? They will all echo, it was the Exodus. No doubt. Very clear. It was the great rescue where God stretched out His hand and saved us from the Egyptians. How He saved us through the 10 plagues. He saved us through the Passover. He saved us through the mighty parting of the Red Sea. But now, what God is saying in Jeremiah 23 is that there will even be a more mighty, there will even be a more grand exodus that is coming. So much so that the new defining moment for the people of Judah will no longer be the old exodus from Egypt, but it will be this new exodus that is coming. So there we have it. Out of the gloom and despair and judgment in the book of Jeremiah, God speaks His word of comfort, of hope. A hope promising a new shepherd, a new Messiah, and a new exodus. Now, as New Testament Christians, of course, you know that the full fulfillment of the promises didn't happen during my time. We know that, right? My people, the Israelites, we eventually returned from our exile in Babylon. We did get new leaders over us, but it was nothing like what was promised here. But instead, here's the mystery of it all. Instead, it's only in Christ Jesus, and it's only together with you, New Testament Christians, that we, the faithful Israelites, receive what was promised to us. Jesus comes as the true shepherd. Jesus comes as the Messiah and the Savior that we, the Israelites, have been waiting for. And not only us, but the world has been waiting for. Jesus is the one who leads and rescues us in the new Exodus.
It's only in Christ Jesus that the full fulfillment of what is promised here in Jeremiah 23 will come about. But still, nonetheless, I think today's passage shows us two things that we can learn from it. And this is where I call up the next slide, and here's where you might have to add down some notes in your sermon outline there. Two lessons for us. Firstly, the Lord does it. See, firstly, this passage reminds us that it is the Lord who does it. It is the Lord who takes the initiative, and it is the Lord who firstly offers us that real hope. You see, we, the Israelites, we didn't do anything to deserve it. We didn't repent. We didn't say sorry to God. Instead, all we did was continue to chase after our idols and practice our false religion. So it's really not like how, you know, for those of us here that have children, you know, sometimes the children do something wrong and you as parents, you get rightfully angry over what they did wrong. And then the parents, the children sense it, right? And they come up to you and they apologize and they are sorry for what they have done, you know, and they show you that they are truly sorry for that. And as a result, you as parents, you know, your hearts get softened and then you go, okay, you know, I forgive you and I still love you. But it wasn't like that for the Israelites. They didn't say sorry to God first. They continued to ignore God. And it's the same for us too. God offers us forgiveness and grace not because we deserve it or because we said sorry to Him. But God saved us and offered us this real hope while we were still dead in our sins and our transgressions. Ephesians 2:1. Just think along with me. Can a dead person do anything for himself? And your answer is no. A dead person can't do anything for himself. He just lies there. Everything is done to him or to her. Correct? It's the same thing with us. We were all dead in our sins and transgressions. There was nothing we could do. But God offered us this hope while we were in this state. So be clear about this, friends. Be clear. It isn't that you and I said sorry, or it isn't that the world said sorry, and that's why God sent His one and only Son. No, it wasn't that. But it was because God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This real hope is the Lord's divine and gracious offer to us, humanity. The Lord does it. Second lesson we can learn is if it's the Lord who does it, then it is also the Lord who does it His way. You see, even as the Lord's prophet, I have to admit to you, I never expected the Lord to act in this way. I thought that the Lord would act, that He would save the people of Judah by destroying the Babylonians, by taking them out of the country. But who would have guessed that salvation comes through judgment? That homecoming comes through exile. Who would have guessed that the way out for us, the faithful Israelite, the way out is not to run away from the Lord's judgment and punishment, but the way out is to go through it, to go through exile. And it is as we do so that we realize that's how God will carry out His rescue. Goes to show you that's how the Lord deals with you and me. Is very often beyond what you and I can imagine. It's sometimes beyond our explanation, beyond our understanding, why He has to take us through particular routes and routes. But what you and I can know and trust is that whatever God does to us as His children, God does it out of the fullness of His love for His beloved people. And friends, here's the good news. Here's where the good news comes in. I don't know about you, but you may be going through moments of deep pain and suffering. You may be going through moments of uncertainty. You may not know what comes ahead of you. In fact, some of us here might even say we are going through the Lord's punishment upon us because of a stubborn sin that we refuse to bring before Him. But friends, here's the good news for us. We can trust that God does it out of the fullness of His love for us. Sometimes He does it to discipline us, but it's always to bring us closer back to Him.
That's the lesson I and the rest of faithful Israel, the remnant, that's the lesson that we had to learn. The mysterious working of salvation through judgment, homecoming through exile. And lastly, the biggest surprise of all that came to me is that God, in offering us real hope, in bringing this hope to fulfillment, it would involve God doing it himself. God rolls up his sleeves and he gets involved in the work himself. It will involve God, the Son, leaving his heavenly splendor and glory, coming into this world as a man, going through our birth, feeling our pain, struggling with us in our toy, and lastly, dying our death, but yet rising in our place, in order to bring you and me this real hope. What response will you give to this great God who offers us hope, who does it himself, and who does it his way? For me, the response that I'll give is I'll bet all that I have on Jesus. Was a real bird in a real stable, in a real dusty Judean town, and a real mother nursed her precious baby, and a bunch of wide-eyed shepherds gathered round. Real angels sang glory, real hope was born that day. I bet all I have on Jesus, I'll throw myself on him, the one who died a real death for real sin. I bet all I have on Jesus, throughout eternity I will marvel at the real hope my Savior won for me. Was a real life, he had real friends, he walked shoulder to shoulder with the lost, he wept real tears for the fallen ones, and he anguished over sin's dreadful cross. Real cross cry, forgive them, as his real life drained away. I bet all I have on Jesus, I'll throw myself on him, the one who died a real death for real sin. I bet all I have on Jesus, throughout eternity I will marvel at the real hope my Savior won for me. I have real fears, I do real sin, and I hurt the ones I cherish and adore. The real mercy of the true God sees the filthy fallen, purchase and restore. And I cry, my God, oh, fill me with a heart completely yours. Please join me in the chorus. On him, the one who died a real death for real sin. I bet all I have on Jesus, throughout eternity I will marvel at the real hope my Savior.
eternity.
Thank you so much, Edmund, for doing all this. And I really enjoyed the air guitar because I finally see the real Edmund Fong. Now, seriously, it's good to remind ourselves about the real hope that we have in Jesus. And with that in mind, I'd like to welcome those who are visiting us for the very first time. Anyone who are here for the first time, could you please kindly raise your hands? So just give you a warm welcome. Anybody? Okay. If not, just a quick announcement. After the service, there'll be the newcomers' lunch. So if you're shy or if you've been in church for some time but you never have a lunch with the leaders, just proceed downstairs. You can meet in the corner. We'll bring you downstairs to the second floor for the newcomers' lunch. Okay? And now I'll bring you also for the announcements. First announcement, very important. Okay? The ACM, or what you call the Annual Congregational Meeting. So for members do note this is compulsory for you to attend. It'll be held next week at 11 a.m. Okay, next week, 11 a.m., immediately after the first service. So for all of you here at the 11:30 a.m. service, please note, next week, the 11:30 a.m. service will be postponed, will be pushed to 1:30 p.m. after the ACM. You understand this? So if you're coming just for the service at 11:30 a.m., don't come at 11:30 next week. Come at 1:30. For the rest, we come at 11 for the ACM. If not, the other services, the 5 p.m. and the 9 a.m. services will continue as per normal. Okay, so do a rearrange the time if you cannot make it for 1:30 service. And, sorry, before that, one last note. Before we leave the church later in the afternoon, on the way down, do make sure you pick up your copy of the ACM report. So it's for you to read, to pray, and then to look at the issues you're going to vote for. Okay, you'll be all downstairs at the car park. Next slide. Church camp. Okay, those who have signed up, if you still need to have any correspondence with the camp committee, do take note that the email has changed to a Gmail. And at the same time, next week will be the last week for any refunds, any withdrawals from the camp. Okay, if you're unable to take any leave or for whatever matter you need to withdraw from the camp, next week will be the last week. And then you inform the camp committee. And all three places are already filled, and just do make sure you take a leave. Next slide. Combined Missions Prayer Evening. Okay, 2 years ago, we have Dick Dowsett, who's a missionary with OMF since 1968. Okay, 1968, I wasn't born yet. Okay, he's a missionary for so long. And 2 years ago, he came to ARPC to share with us the missions retreat and to spoke at the services. So he's very, very experienced. And because he's coming by Singapore again, and he's kindly offered to speak to us on 5th of May, particularly on the topic of how to pray for missionaries, how to pray correctly, how do we care for them, and how to pray for missions. So it's a rare chance to hear from an experienced missionary on this. So we 5th of May, Live and Joy Room, 7:30 p.m. Okay, next. Composition concepts. Okay, we all of us have a handphone, right? Okay, and in all your handphones, you have a camera, right? So all your friends do have cameras. And so a group of photographers in ERPC have gathered together, and they want to share their passion for photography. And more importantly, they also want to share the love for Jesus, the true love they have, okay? So it's good to love your camera, but love Jesus more. Chong Chen, okay? Okay. So on 6th of May, we're going down to Chinatown. So it's a great chance for you to invite your friends. Your friends who have not known Jesus yet, but they love photography or like to take pictures. Invite them to come to this Sugar Granny Cafe. We managed to find a place and where we can have a talk, show them how you can compose the pictures in a way that's aesthetically pleasing. And then they will have a about one hour field trip to go up to Chinatown to take photo shoot. And when they come back, on the way back, we will present to them the gospel, okay, based on the topic on composition. How do we bring Christ into it? And at the end, we will have prize giving to give the best photos taken for the day. So it's a great chance for us to just invite our friends to a non-intimidating intimidating kind of event where we can share the gospel with them. Okay. For more information, check in the bulletin and not just go to Eventbrite to register. Next slide. Mercy Ministry talk on advanced care planning. Okay, this is hard topic, because we know that we will grow old and die. In between these two stages, we will fall sick. And so there will be crisis because we do not know how to react. We can't predict all these things and not know how to care for our loved ones when they go through those crises. So this talk from professional healthcare people, they're coming and share with us, how do you actually prepare for this crisis in our lives? And so prevent them from crisis, make it into prevention. And how do you have mentally prepared for all these? Okay, so it's a very important topic, especially with our aging population. We all will face this one day. So do come and attend a talk at 6th of May, 11 a.m, second floor patients' room. Okay, for the next two announcements, I'll be giving you without the slides. Just a quick announcement on the Mandarin Ministry, the Parents' Day Dinner. Those who still want to sign up, make sure that you do so ASAP, because this week is the last weekend to sign up. And a Paul Tripp conferences on marriage as well as ministry. The bookend is still open for you to sign up by cash. Okay? And last thing, I'm going to show you this thing. This is a very pretty book. You can see it open up. You see nice smiling faces. What is this all about? Because when we first started ERPC in the 1990s, guess how many children we have in Children's Church? 2. Okay, and now, this year, 2012, how many children do we have in Children's Church? Excluding myself at Edmund Fong, we have about 500. Okay? So about 500. So it's a lot of children we have. Yeah, so God has blessed us immensely. We're just thankful for abundance of blessings. And so what we have do is that we have produced the Children's Church teacher and Joe Heng, yes. Yeah, my best buddy. So, yeah. So they worked very hard over the months to produce this nice booklet. We call it called a family directory, the portraits of all the families. Why is this important? It's important because with this booklet, you can actually know which children belong to which parents. And then when you see hang around, we can actually pray for them, get to know them, help one another to love God more. Okay, instead of just seeing each other and then say, okay, children, and then, oh, parents. Yeah, so it helps us to know one another better. So this is meant for parents with children in Children's Church. Okay, there are printed enough copies for every family with children in Children's Church. Okay, so you get one copy per family. How do you get it? It's when you go downstairs, ground floor at the car park there, and you pick up one copy from a Children's Church pastors. Okay, so that's all I have for announcements. Okay.
Thank you, Lak Yong. And now I'll be singing our closing song, and our closing song is Isn't He Good? A song that speaks of how, despite the judgment, that God offers us mercy and hope and His goodness. Let's be upstanding as we sing this song.
Isn't he good? Isn't he good?
ceaseless grace. Let us sing, He is good. Let us sing,
isn't He good?
And now, may the grace of our God the Father, may the love of Christ the Son, and may the fellowship of His Spirit be with us and strengthen us to realize just how good You are to us, O Lord. That truly in a time when we were rebelling against You, when we were still persisting in going our own way, that You offered us real hope, as we've seen today, that Jesus has come as the true shepherd. He's come as the Messiah, and He's brought us through the new Exodus. Truly, may our lives be lived out in such a manner that proclaim to the glory and the goodness of Christ our Savior. And we pray all these things in His name. Amen. Thank you. Service is ended. Just carry on. Stay in the hall to reflect upon what we've learned. Or might want to proceed downstairs and carry on your fellowship there. Newcomers, please meet over at the drum set over there. Newcomers, meet.